the sins, any type of sin, whatever sin it is, whatever form it takes, whatever condition it is committed in, it is a very dangerous thing indeed, the sin. Sin will give extreme loss, it will give extreme consequences, and it will destroy a person when committed. Any action, if it is bad, if it is not a good deed, if it is a sin, then you realize by the consequence of that deed. The consequence of sin, if we look at it in two parts, two ways. First thing is this, is that when an individual commits a sin, then the first consequence is that his Rabb becomes displeased with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes unhappy with that person. And that's it. Is there anything more we want in terms of destruction than Allah Ta'ala's displeasure? That Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with that person. If Allah is unhappy with that person, what else is it that we are waiting for? What action of ours can be correct or straight? What will be the condition of that person and his affairs? If Allah is unhappy with that person, end of story. There's nothing more. Allah Ta'ala is the Malik, He is the owner, He gives everything. So if Allah Ta'ala is unhappy, then all doors close for that individual. All sources of goodness close for that person. All situations of goodness close for that person. Can there be a worse situation than Allah is unhappy with the person? And this continues, that Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with that person, as long as that individual does not leave that sin. As long as that person continues to sin, he's steadfast on sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unhappy with that person. And any deed, any amal performed by that person cannot please Allah, cannot turn the tables, except for one thing, that that individual leaves the sin or sins that he is committing. This is what we need to think. This is what we need to realize. And the second consequence dangerous of due to sinning is Jahannam. First is Allah's displeasure. Second, straight hellfire. Jahannam. An-Nar. How has Allah Ta'ala kept Jahannam for that person? When a person dies after sinning, as a sinful person, and then the destination for that person is hellfire. He won't stay there forever because he has iman or she has iman in the heart. All of the sins that a person has committed, then the fire of Jahannam will burn that person until all of those sins are burnt. There are seven levels of hellfire. May Allah forgive. There are seven levels in Jahannam. And which sin is it that will attain the salvation and forgiveness from Allah? Because there's nothing to save a person when he will be thrown into the hellfire after committing the sin. So this is, my brothers, the consequence of sin. Two consequences. How dangerous is sin? When an individual commits a sin, then shaitan mixes a bit of enjoyment into the sin. Bit of taste. Bit of enjoyment and desire. And it's temporary, the enjoyment, the taste. And even in that temporary moment of sin, that individual doesn't feel good. He doesn't feel enjoyment. He knows it's sort of pinching him inside. Heart's not content. He sees he's doing, he's implementing the sin, but he doesn't feel like inside that he's doing right. He's not got that deep-rooted enjoyment, because he or she who's sinning knows that shaitan has put a bit of temporary taste, gloss, a bit of gloss on the sin, and the person's practicing this and he carries on. And he carries on. And if you ask that person, that, do you enjoy what you're doing? He said, no, really, deep down inside, I'm not really enjoying myself. I don't really remember what true enjoyment is. And the sin in reality, there are two types of sins that the ulama, the respected scholars have told us, there are two types of sin. One is the saghira and one is the kabira. Yeah? One is the minor sins, and one is the bigger sins, the larger sins. Now, what we have discussed in the beginning, the consequence, the two consequences of Allah's displeasure and Jahannam, these are attached to all sins, big or small. Even if it's an atom's weight of sin, Allah is displeased with that person. You can't say, oh, I did a small sin, it's okay. Even if you've disobeyed Allah, even an atom's weight, then you are earning Allah's displeasure. Because sin means Allah's disobedience. If Allah says, do this, and we don't do that, Allah says, don't do this action, and we do that action, yeah? These are two examples. These are not two small things. It's a big order. If Allah says, don't do this and we do it, or if Allah says, don't do this and we do it, because shaitan comes in between. Shaitan says, no, no, it's not important. Don't worry. It's a minor thing. It doesn't make any difference. And you're doing good deeds. You are pious. And you're worshipping. What good deeds? Even if 600,000 years shaitan worshipped, he was the ustad of the angels. 600,000 years he worshipped. He taught the angels education. Where did it all go? It disappeared within a second. Because he made one sin. And he didn't say no. He didn't say no to Allah. He just made an excuse for not obeying. And we, when we sin, we put excuses forward. We say, oh, I can't help it. We've got to do it. I'm forced to do it in my house. I've got problems. I tried my best, but I couldn't help it. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world has given us a full example from the beginning of time when Allah made the earth. Before Allah made earth and planet earth and man, Allah gave us the story of shaitan and his cunningness. So Allah says, there's no excuse in front of me. You cannot present any excuse. The question doesn't arise. Whatever situations come in front of you, there are obstacles, problems in your life. This is the test. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْمٍ الْخَوْفِ Allah says that I'll test you with fear, with money, lack of money, lot of money, wife, children issues, challenges of family. Allah says, I'll test you. That how many excuses are you going to put forward to not obey me? I'll test you. Now the mu'min has one duty. Allah's order, that's it. Allah says, do it, I'll do it, doesn't matter what happens. If Allah says, don't do this, doesn't matter what happens, I'm not going to do this action because my Rabb has ordered me not to do this. End of story. This is the life of the Muslim. No excuse under the sun, any form of sin. Allah says, no excuse if you commit a sin. Don't give me excuses. Oh, I was forced to do it. I couldn't help it. It was difficult for me. Allah says, no. So whether it's a minor or a big, saghira, kabira, both are sins, Allah's displeasure and fire of Jahannam will be earned. The difference is, saghira sins are what? The definition of saghira sins, the ulema, the respected scholars, have said the saghira sin is Allah Ta'ala has prepared a preparation for the saghira sin for the human being. And Allah said that if you do tawbah, you'll be forgiven. If you do saghira sin and do tawbah, you can leave that sin. And there's another system to eliminate the saghira sins, the minor sins. Firstly, Allah forgives if you ask for forgiveness. And if you do a good deed, then that good deed will compensate and annul and cancel that sin, saghira. And this is Allah's karam, mercy on the mu'mineen. Allah's karam. For example, Allah's given us the tawfiq, me and you. Allah's given us the tawfiq that we have come to this gathering of dhikr. Allah sat us down in this gathering of dhikr. Allah's brought us to this gathering of dhikr. We've sat here, many other people who Allah Ta'ala wanted to include in this. Allah Ta'ala made a system online, on air. Many women, many men far away are gathered, included in this gathering. Just like we are sat, they are getting the same thawab at this moment in time with passion, desire, interest. They sat down together in their families. It's dhikr tonight. They've quickly finished their work that tonight we're going to listen to dhikr. Somewhere it's 3 a.m, 2 a.m, somewhere it's 12 midnight, somewhere it's 11 p.m, somewhere it's 1 a.m, somewhere this moment in time it's 4 a.m, someone's listening in the car, somebody's traveling. So the more you sit with adab and manners and focus, Allah loves adab. Remember this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, if you obey his hukam, the more adab and manners and focus and attention and regard you have. That's why there's classification for one amal. There are many levels for one deed. Just for doing one deed, Allah has put many levels. For which reason? Allah says that your darajat, your levels will increase based on your desire, focus, manners and love for the amal that you're doing. This is adab. Adab. This is the definition of adab. And all of the ma'amalat of reward, for example, we've come to dhikr, and someone will have a different desire, somebody will have a different passion, somebody will have quickly finished work, somebody will put off itar and utur and fragrance and surma, someone will have worn special libas tonight. Why? We're doing the dhikr of Allah. Allah says, I'm not asking you, but the noor will come from that person's life. Quickly will have finished salah in the morning, you would have thought, ah, oh, today is Thursday night, we're going to go to dhikr, my guests are coming, sorry, I have to cancel the gathering, I can't meet you. Someone will have taken a shortcut out of work, somebody will have left and closed the shop early, somebody will have left his earnings early, somebody will have left his hobbies or sports, whatever. Allah says, do you think this is a minor thing? Allah says that your dhikr adab will take you to the heights that you cannot imagine. Don't think that this is a minor thing. This is major. The more the fire consumes and burns someone due to the sin, the more Allah's rewards engulf a person and increase his stages and rank in paradise. Many people, alhamdulillah, who come to this gathering of dhikr, they have different clothes they keep for this night. They have perfume for the gathering. And they eat, change the eating time so that it doesn't clash with zikr time. They make sacrifices, preparation. And shaitan says, oh, you're sleepy, don't go, you're tired, you can't join. And he leaves all of the invitations. He says, doesn't matter what comes, I'm going to dhikr. Allah's fadl and grace and mercy comes to a person. Allah Ta'ala says, he avails the opportunity. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala increases their status many times over. It doesn't matter if someone with him says, no, you don't need to go, we're tired, let's go next time. Whatever excuses come, he says, no, Allah, I want to please you and I'm ready for you. Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah is khabir and basir, he knows people's intentions and sincerity and preparation and efforts. So, just like this majlis Allah has given to us, this gathering, Allah has sat us down here. Allah has brought us here. So what will we get from this? As soon as this majlis starts, we'll go to the peak of this gathering, the majlis will go to the uruj. This is just the beginning. We're in a warm-up phase. Slowly, slowly, Allah will take it to the peak, to the peak, to the peak. Then we'll recite the uruj sharif at the peak. And that's where the peak will reach when we recite the uruj sharif. And we'll get miraj, the meeting with Allah at that time. So what will happen at that time? What happens then is that in this majlis, as I said, saghira sins, Allah is prepared to compensate. Allah Ta'ala introduces good deeds, so saghira sins are cancelled. So when a person attends this gathering, I'm giving the example of dhikr, there are many other gatherings. I'm just giving the example of this gathering. When a person sits like we are sat now, as the gathering continues, the kalamats will come, we will recite, we'll continue, we'll enjoy. What will happen is our body, the sins will fall off just like from the dry branches, the leaves fall off. So Subhanallah. That's how the sins will leave our body. Imagine, this is hadith, sahih, how the sins will leave our body like the dry leaves falling off an autumn tree. So all the saghira sins Allah has prepared, the same way that I balance the person's life when he does good deeds, I remove his sins. Saghira. So first thing, brothers, we've got a lot of sins in our life, me, you, all of us. Whenever attendance comes to a gathering, a majlis like this, anytime, anywhere, any night, if Allah's calling you, hadith tell you that attend the gathering, Allah removes the sins, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Otherwise, then the other path will take us to Jahannam and we will burn. So what's happening? What are we losing? We're not losing anything. When we go home or finish the gathering, all our sins will have been removed, burnt, removed from our bodies, from our history books. So saghira sin, but the kabira guna, the major sins, will not be forgiven like this. Even Ramadan won't forgive the major sins. Hajj will not forgive the major sins. Tahajjud will not forgive the major sins. Worship will not forgive the major sins. No amal can forgive the major sins. The kabira sins I'm talking about now. The kabira, the major ones, the big ones. No deed. Ramadan comes, oh, Allah's going to forgive me, I'm fasting, Allah ghafoor rahim. Don't fall into this trap. Never. These are saghira sins that are forgiven in Ramadan, tahajjud. Guna kabira, the major sins the ulama have defined. The major sins, they are not forgiven through worship, Ramadan, special events and nights. Allah has prepared another thing to remove the major sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a very big point. Understand it today. I'm coming to the point. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Don't fall into illusion. Be attentive. Sit up. Put the antenna up, the aerial, and listen to what I'm saying. So, the sin which is kabira, the major sin, how do we remove those? We think, oh, Ramadan's come, all my sins have gone. Oh, Allah's ghafreem. Oh, this happened and I'm forgiven. I went on the journey, Hajj is forgiven. No, totally not. Saghira will be disappeared, forgiven. But the kabira sins will stay with the human being. Allah says, kabira sins will only be forgiven through one thing. What is that? Tawbah. Sincere, say subhanallah. Sincere tawbah. Only tawbah will forgive the major sins. The cure is this, that if you've implemented kabira sins, you want them forgiven, there's only one cure, one solution. What is that? Tawbatun nasuh. Allah Ta'ala, come in front of Allah, sit, man or woman, present yourself, say, Allah, this is my major sin or sins I've done. Allah, these sins I've committed, there's only one path. Allah, I bow to you, I submit to you, I promise, Allah, I am a human being, I've sinned, I've made a big sin, I've committed a big sin. Please Allah, with your grace, your fadl, the conditions of tawbah I accept, I will leave this sin right now, number one. Number two, I will not do it again. Number three, Allah, I'm very, very ashamed in front of you that I obeyed shaitan's orders and I committed this sin. That's it. Soon as you say this and accept that I committed this sin, whoever did this, Allah says, I forgive you. I forgive you. This is the condition. The bay'ah we do to a sheikh, you know when you get bayat with a sheikh, like you've done bayat, haven't you? This is different. That's a different tawbah. This is the pinnacle of tawbah. This is the Quranic tawbah. This is the Quranic method. Allah Ta'ala says, look, oh my Nabi, the believing women will come to you. I'm sending them to you, Surah Mumtahinna, and accept their tawbah. How? That take the promise from these believing women, and it applies to the men folk as well afterwards. You will have given promises, isn't it, when you took bayah. And if you are steadfast on your promises, then your bayah is existing. Number one, what was the promise you made? So you do tawbah first. Then after that you do tawbah, that when the man or woman does tawbah, accepts the sins, has regret, in the hukum, the Quran gave hukum, oh my mahbub sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they've done tawbah, they've accepted their sins, they regret. What now? For these people, raise your hands, oh my Nabi, and do dua for them. Subhanallah, what a great reward. Imagine. So Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands and did dua, sifarish, influence, intermediary. Allah says, inna Allah, you are my Rasul, O Rasul, and this is myself, and I am the Rabb. Inna Allah, I am Allah, inna Allah, verily Allah. And you think I won't forgive him when he is accepted, Ghafoor, I've forgiven him, Allah says, Maghfira, I've forgiven this person. And Allah says, Allah doesn't stop there, Rahim, all the sins he done, I have transformed them into good deeds. Subhanallah, this is called taking bayah with the sheikh. My friends in life, do this tawbah for sure at the hand of a true sheikh. This is a great action. Sunnah. This is called bayah. So then, saghira sins, we already discussed, they are forgiven when a person does good deeds. Good deeds burn off the sins. And how are kabira sins exterminated? Through tawbah. Only through tawbah. Now let's go to the next level. Some sins are such that even tawbah won't forgive the sins. They are that big. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. Rather, tawbah is not complete. If you do not get forgiveness for those bigger sins, I have done tawbah of kabira sins. But if I don't do tawbah from the bigger sins, then even my tawbah, my bayah will not be accepted. Allahu Akbar, what are those sins? What's the next level of sin now? My brothers, this is the life of a Muslim. We think Islam's a game. Life's a game. We don't even know what's sin, how we'll be burnt, what will happen in the grave, what's our status. We haven't got a clue about life. We're just running around like animals. We have no fikr, no understanding of the definition of life. Oh, it's alright, life's fine. I don't know, have I done saghira sins, kabira sins? Have I made mistakes today? Last 24 hours, what have I done? What should I do next? How do I exterminate these sins, eliminate them? I'm going into Jahannam. I'll get azab in the qabr. No care. No care at all. Oh, it's fine, morning, go to work, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy. Alhamdulillah, Allah makes us go to salah. This is not life. This is like wind, it will disappear, salah. Tell me, tawbah we're doing to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, now these sins, X, Y, Z, if you don't get the forgiveness, then even your tawbah, your bayah is incomplete, even that won't be accepted. Allah says, I cannot do nothing about this now. And how big a kabira sin will that be, my brothers? Now ask you the question. What are those sins? Listen now, let's define those. Those kabira sins, they are linked with society. Societal sins. Do you understand society? Called ma'asharat. P people around us, social intercourse. Now we go to the next level. Me, you, our relations, interaction, transactions. When I make sins with society, haqqul ibad, there are such sins, Allah says, these sins, haqqul ibad, then I cannot forgive you. You can come to me, but I won't forgive you. Why? Because these sins will only be forgiven when you go to that man or woman that you committed excess against. When he or she forgives you, then only will I forgive you. Allah says, otherwise your tawbah is there on the side, take it away, I don't want it. Allah says, pick up your tawbah and go home with it. Allah says. And this is called ma'asharat sins. Sins of society. So what happens now? Okay, small sins I've done. Allah says, fine, you do wuzu. Wuzu removes the sins. You do tasbih, dhikr, Quran. It removes the sagira sins. Kabira sins, Allah says, okay, if I give you tawfiq, the sins I told you, if we do tawbah, bayah, they're removed. But mu'ashara sins, we don't even think they're sins. We don't even think the sins. Societal sins, we don't even think the sins. It's such a big sin in society. And even our tawbah behind us won't forgive us for those sins. Even tawbah won't forgive us for our sins. What will be the condition of that person? Me, you, what will we do then? In front of Allah. Brothers, ibadah, worship, this is a waste of time if we are committing excess against human beings. Don't be lost in illusion and be drowned in your deeds. Follow the system and the rules Allah has made. According to Allah Ta'ala's rules and principles and laws, if we don't follow that, we'll destroy our efforts and deeds, our ibadah. Let's go further. Where will we go forward in the hereafter if behind us is destruction and fire? If we fail behind us, then what's the point of moving forward? What will our deeds do for us if we fail in this phase? So this is the situation. Follow Allah Ta'ala's system, His principle. Allah says that sins, they will be removed like this. You have to do this. Then we need to stop there. Understand Allah's definition. I'm making effort. I'm doing ibadah. I'm worshipping. Why am I wasting all this worship? I have to think that all my worship is frozen in the freezer at the moment because I am doing sins against human beings. What are the sins of society? Big subject. Complete subject in Islam. Could take you years to study. The Sufis have taken this subject. The true sheikhs have taken. This is tasawwuf. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You want to learn tasawwuf? Then and study the subject of sins against human beings. And the solution is tazkiyah. Purification of the heart and the soul and the batin. But today this kitab has been closed and put underneath the pile of other books. Allah says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ came to do three main things. To teach the Qur'an, to teach his hikmah, the sunnah, through the hadith, and وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Where's this third most important principle and pivot of the deen one? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. We say, oh, just do dhikr. If you don't do dhikr, doesn't important. It's not matter if I do it or not. I can do this, I can do what I want. No. No. Tazkiyah, tasawwuf is what? Is that where our mamulat, daily actions, are they correct? Is my life correct amongst other people, relatives, friends, society, people, X, Y, Z? Am I the right person as I should be? This is tasawwuf. Do we study this today? No. If I'm not doing the right thing in society, wallah, I swear by Allah, it's a very dangerous time that will come. When death comes, I will struggle. I speak about myself, Allah, please, before death, may I wake up so I can remove the sins that I'm committing in society. It's very dangerous. Because fine, everything else is okay, Allah, you are Rahim, Kareem, Saghira sins and major sins. But Allah, where now I don't understand where I'm committing excesses against people, Allah, you put a stop on my deeds. It's your choice. This is your law. And you require me to be good in society. So I have to follow this law and this principle of life. This is how severe is the sin of society. I'll tell you two sins today about sins of society. And these sins that are being mentioned today, do you know? You know these sins and the meaning of the hadith about these sins. The meaning of hadith is when hadith reaches a person, when he reads a hadith or he hears a hadith, don't think that, oh, it's dars of hadith, dars of Quran. This discussion we're having now, it's not a joke. Allah is delivering a message to us in this sitting. When you sit in a majlis and a hadith comes to your ears, then Allah is sending you this message to your ears. And Allah says, the subject of this hadith, bring it into your life now. Into your life now. And assess, where am I against this hadith. Where's your position? Where's your status? Where's your location against this hadith? So today we've discussed about kabira sins. And kabira sin is that sin which is related to the human beings in society. So two hadith come to my mind right now, and I'm going to present them to you. And with the barakah of this majlis, each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves a question. Where do I stand against these hadith? That if I hear these two hadith today and I understand them, then I have to promise Allah this is a big sin in society. Inshallah, I will finish this off now, before this majlis finishes. Why? 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 Why is this sin in my life today? Why? I have to ask myself. And this sin, what is the effect of the sin? It's such an ajeeb sin in the way that Rasulullah defined this sin in a beautiful way. First, Rasulullah mentioned the punishment. First, Nabi al-Kareem mentioned the punishment. This is the punishment for these sins. First, Rasulullah told us the punishment. And this hadith is narrated by who? A great sahabi, great companion, radiallahu anhu. Such a great status yet, that maybe no other companion. Who is this person? One status is so great that direct Nabi al-Kareem says, Khalifa, Khalifat al-Rasul. He is the direct deputy. No companion had this as us, apart from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And he had this direct thing. Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's direct Khalifa. Yes, the other Khilafats came after, but he was the direct Khalifa. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was directly selected by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine his status. Selected by the Prophet. What a great man. What a great individual. What great status he had. So he is the narrator. And he is linked, the master, the father of Naqshbandi Sisla, to which we are joined. Say subhanallah. And again subhanallah. Imagine the barakah in our lives that our father, great, great, great grandfather, Shaykh Abu Bakr Siddiq, he is the narrator of this hadith, radiallahu anhu. Imagine how important this hadith is. In this hadith is narrated in Tirmidhi Sharif, Hazrat Hakim ul Ummat, Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi himself has narrated this hadith and shared it in his kitab. So it's mustanad, agreed from many different chains that I'm presenting to you. And I've read this hadith myself. I've not heard it, I've read it myself, this hadith. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu narrated, Rahmatul Qayanat, the master, Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that wretched is that person. This is how the hadith starts. First comes the punishment. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Wretched is that person, Allahu Akbar. Imagine maloon, wretched, cursed is that person. His tawbah won't be accepted. He cannot do tawbah. His tawbah won't be accepted. As I said to you, there are many sins that their tawbah is not accepted. Allah says, rather it will destroy your previous tawbah. So cursed is who? Who is cursed? Tell me. That individual, that human being, that man, that woman, on whose Allah's lana comes on their head. Allah's lanat, maloon. This is the first thing. And who was given the title of maloon? Remember in history. Who was expelled? Shaitan was given the title of the cursed. So may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. Whoever does this sin that we're going to learn now, then Allah's Nabi said that that person is cursed and he's in the party of Shaitan. And all the effects of Shaitan, the azab on Shaitan, Allah's hatred and nafrat will be the same for that person as it is for Shaitan. So imagine the punishment. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. So that individual is cursed. Rasulullah said he is cursed. That woman is cursed. That man is cursed. Who? Who? Now comes the hadith. The sin is now being defined. Now this is not saghira. This is not kabira. This is a societal sin. That individual who to another person, to another Muslim, gives loss and pain. Who gives loss and pain and a negative effect and issues and problems and troubles to another Muslim? He is cursed. Look at this point. Now, in the hadith it is stated that individual who gives loss and pain to another individual, who is a Muslim? We'll have to think. We have to find Muslims today who are not having problems in your home. Who are the people in my home today? Tell me. Muslims. Who is your wife? She's a Muslim. Who is your mother? She's a Muslim. Who is your sister? Believers, sons, daughter, your brothers, your puppies, Your father's sisters, your mother's sisters, your relatives, your father's brothers, they are all what? Believers. Musliman. All. You don't have to look far. And where we live, who are your neighbors? Muslim. Believers. Who are the people here? Muslim. Who are the people sat here? Muslim. You go out of the masjid. Who are the people in the shops? Muslim. You have to live and interact with Muslims, Islamic society, all the time. Where you work? Muslim. Believers. Everywhere around you, Muslim. The people you have to take, buy, sell, transaction, Muslim. Business, premises, offices, Muslims. The people who you know around you and you meet, friends, colleagues, acquaintances, Muslim. So the whole mashra, Muslim. So that means in any person you meet in society, you have related, if you give trouble to, if I give trouble to that person, pain, loss, Allah says this is such a big sin that you are cursed. You are cursed. If you give heart pain, problems, mental pain, troubles, issues to a person. Imagine the effect of a person. So if you're cursed, then all your deeds are blown away into the air. They're blown away. They are blown away. Just like the twigs and the leaves blow away in the wind, your status and piety will blow away within a second. So we are Muslim. At some time in your life, if you give loss, pain, trouble, negative effect, even a atom's weight to someone, you will get this punishment. Now, what is loss? If in the heart, if you give pain to someone in their heart, even a little bit, even if you sort of frown at that person in anger and give him pain, heart pain, or you want to give that person heart pain, if you're pestering someone, even if you put your hand on that someone, one is the hand, the pat of love. But if you put the hand on that person to give pain, then the effect will be different. If you put your hand on them with caressing nicely, with muhabba, that's different. But so the mentality of giving someone pain or love, the action is the same. But the effect is different because inside it comes from the heart. Then in your heart you're saying, I want to take revenge on this person. I want to give pain to this person. I want to give problems to this person. He asked for water. Someone asked you for water. And you laugh it off. And whether he gives you water, look in your home, for example, husband, wife, children, but you have anger and you want to take revenge on that person, then instead of water, nice cool water, yes, you mix some hot water. Oh, I made a mistake, and you give them the wrong thing that they asked for. You are taking revenge. Today your wife thought, I'm going to take revenge on my husband. I'm going to put some more spices in the food. Oh, I made a mistake, and he's crying out and he's got pain in his stomach. Small thing maybe, small thing, but inside the heart of the person, when he wants to take revenge or payback time, or his intention is to give loss, then every action of that person, if he's not got good intentions, any portion of society, you go to work, for example, you barge somebody with your shoulder, or you don't like somebody and you don't give him way. Even that, for example, you don't like someone and you spit towards a person. Even if you don't spit on that person, it spits near him, lands near him, you give that person pain, trouble. Even if you dislike a person and he's put his shoes somewhere, you pick the shoes up and put them in another part of the shoe rack, because I want to give that person pain, I want to pester that person. I'm telling you, heart intention, that's why Allah said cursed. Allah didn't say for no other reason. The hayat, the person's external actions are a reflection of his heart state. And you can show that you're praying salah, you've got ilm, knowledge, dhikr, Quran, your good faces, libas, Islamic dress. You can show everything you want. But the effect of your external sins, and examples come to mind, I'll tell you. The effect of your external clothing and practice like a wall of a house. Yeah, and in that wall there's damp. And that damp, to hide that damp, what do? You put some paper on top, or you fill the cracks and paint it, decorate it. Whoever comes, oh yeah, nice house, nice wood. They look at the paper, the decoration. After some days, the paper will crumble, and inside the damp will come out, the smell. Same way, our external clothing, appearance, fragrance, when mold comes, death, then the paper, the decoration, vile will come out, and the damp smell will come out of the sins from the heart. So if you give loss to someone, you pester someone, you dislike someone, and he doesn't know that you're pestering him, you take his item without ijazah, without permission, he's looking for his items. So the lanati, everything in his life is destruction. If Allah says cursed is that person, cursed, Allah says not on his sins, Allah says one Muslim individual, my servant, Allah says you gave him pain, doesn't matter how that person was, but why did you pester that person? Why did you give trouble to that person? Why do you dislike that person? We have to be careful when we're living in society with human beings, my brothers. Another example. There's an intellectual man, and his discussion was yesterday, an intellectual, and I heard that discussion attentively on a certain place and time. And he's intellectual, brainy. Allah has given him wisdom. Like we see that today in the generation, this is the generation of the brain. So he was presenting Islam according to his brain in a group of people, in a gathering. And he said Islam's this and that, we should do this and that. What he actually wanted to say, his theme was good, in that he wanted to say that Islam, what's happened to Islam? Is that we've taken Islam, the meaning of Islam as ibadah worship, but the ruh, the spirit of deen, what is that? That one human being, how he should interact, help and love other human beings. Where there is no differentiation for the sake of humanity, not just a Muslim, any human being, we should love to be good human beings. And this is the ruh of Islam that the Prophet ﷺ brought. This brother was given this speech. And we have hidden this essence of Islam with the ibadah, and people have become overwhelmed today with appearance and face and clothes and ibadah. And we've hidden the ruh of Islam. He said, what we need to do is bring akhlaq to the top and social interaction, which is afzal, over and above the ibadah. And this is truth, and he was speaking the reality. And hadith proves this, because Rasulullah said, akhlaq is the greatest factor of Islam, the greatest element of Islam. If we have akhlaq, then our ibadah will be decorated by light. If we don't have akhlaq, then your deeds will evaporate into the sky. And wretched is that person. And forget about azan, forget about his appearance and his attire and his libas. My brothers, what I'm trying to say is that this is the gathering of tazkiyah. Learn the reality of life and Islam. Don't come to traditional habit, zikr, you come, you go, you come and go. What the sheet system I gave you, pay attention, because I'm concerned more on the sins than zikr. Because this gathering that we come to so many times in a week, is it making a good effect to your life? Am I saving myself? Are you saving yourself from hellfire? My thinking is different. The tasawwuf is unique. I know the ruh of Islam, the ruh that Rasulullah came with, and he announced that the reason I came to this world was to spread akhlaq amongst mankind. Subhanallah. My Hazrat, Nur al-Marqada, may Allah Ta'ala's rain down, shower down rahmah into his grave. And may Allah give him the highest maqam, the Naqshbandi Shaykhs. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to stand under his flag on the Day of Judgment. Say, Ameen. Ameen. The first nasiha advice my teacher gave me on the first day that I went to him, in the maktubat which are hidden. And he said, I give you nasiha. He said to me as my teacher, that this path that you are embarking on, let me tell you the meaning now. Most definitely, this is the path of the walis of Allah. People in the heart say, I want to be a wali, kutub, ghaus, abdal, sheikh. No doubt, a person can become of this. Today you are something, tomorrow you'll be higher. This majlis, you are an abdal. From this same majlis, you can leave as a kutub, abdal. Because Allah is the one who increases the status of a person. Allah Rabbul Kareem knows what intention you come with, where you're to be. You can have a connection with tazkiyah of this line, the tasawwuf, tazkiyah, suluk. What is this path, this journey? A person increases the levels of iman. But beware, my shaykh said to me, be very careful of one thing. I tell you right now, what is a wali of Allah? What is the ghawsiyat? What is the kutub? What is the abdal? These levels of becoming a wali of Allah, how do you ascend these levels? Hazrat said that what you want to attain, you want to be a wali of Allah, then the method to get there is that the result will come out when? Is when in your life your akhlaqi hamida, your akhlaqi razila is eliminated and you get akhlaqi hamida, good conduct, then you can say that you are a friend of Allah. Only then. What a great nasiha my shaykh gave me. Lesson number one. Many events will come, you'll do dhikr, you'll do ibadah, big people will come to you, jamaats will come, people will follow you, you'll give takreer, this be Allah will give you elevation. But, Hazrat said, this is all deception, all a dream, all darkness. Shaitan will deceive you in so many ways. You're a sheikh, you've got people, students. If you want to judge yourself, my sheikh told me that with every Muslim, don't deceive anyone, don't pain anyone from your body. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When you reach to this position, then don't have fikr about your ibadah. You can, even if you can't pray tahajjud in the night, no problem. If you only you can do a little bit of dhikr, if you can only recite Quran a little bit, even if in hajj once in a life you do, but if you get maqam, then have this dawah that Allah has selected you for his walayat. If you give beautiful effects to the human beings and you don't pain anyone, then you are traveling on the path of the tasawwuf. This was lesson number one my shaykh gave me. Don't ever pain anyone from your physical body. Any Muslim, a child, kid, home, wife, khala, auntie, mother-in-law, father-in-law, don't give them pain. From your body, your physical, personal self, don't even think, even in your brain, that I'm going to give loss to someone. Soon as you think this, then there are higher levels. When you think that you're going to pain someone, you're cursed. If you don't think this, then you're a wali of Allah. Two extreme situations. What a great subject is tazkiyah. And tazkiyah, tasawwuf, is the mindset. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahab, damat barakatum. And when we used to listen to his bayanat, in his majlis, I used to pray Salat Jummah. And he used to say this regularly, that when you change your mindset and mentality, this was his regular saying, if you change your mindset, mentality, that I want to be a good person, positive, good to other people. Our thinking, when it comes, why should I pain someone? Why should I pester someone? I'd rather take the pain myself. My sister's come, okay, today if it was my brother, if he comes, I'll do this for him, I'll do this for my sister. Brothers are enemies today. Allahu Akbar. We say we're walis of Allah. He's my sheikh, and we have enmity between brothers. We don't even want to see each other's face. We don't embrace each other in the home. His son doesn't go to the brother's son. And whether we go to someone's wedding, then his nose is up in the air, I'm better than him. We don't shake hands. We shake each other's hands like smells coming from our bodies. The same two sons from a mother, and they don't meet each other. And the daughter and son, they've come from the womb of the same mother. They've taken the milk from the same breast. But shaitan has made them cursed because they hate each other. Ilm's gone, their Quran's gone, their tasawwuf's gone, their deen's gone, because they hate each other and they want to do things against each other. When a person hates someone, will he not think about how to give him loss? Tell me. Will he give him benefit? Will he give him benefit? The person's blood will go from red to white, but he won't change. But the Sufi, the person who's a true Sufi, remember again the statement of my great Sheikh, that dhikr of Allah, you are people who do dhikr and shukr. Hazrat used to say this regularly in his majlis, that you are people who do dhikr and shukr. You are great people. You are like a white sheet. Why are there stains on your white sheet? My Sheikh used to say, subhanAllah. Why are there stains? I can see the stains on your sheets, my students, my Sheikh used to say. When you see stains on your clothes, you straightway throw them in the washing machine. This Sufi Sahib's got a black cloth around him. Are you going to see? This is the, he thinks he's Sufi Sahib. He's got a black blanket wrapped around him. Yeah, he won't see the stain on his cloth, will he? He won't see the sins, the defects. But when you wear white clothes, Allah's given tawfiq, because you don't, then you see the stains in the dirt. Our brothers were sat here. Even a small speck of dust, you'll see it. You go, oh, it's dirty. When you come to the dhikr, your wife say, oh, why are you wearing these clothes? They're stains. Wash them. Change your clothes before you go to the majlis. So the dhakir, the shakir, who remembers Allah, who wants to be good. Hazrat said, he is like a white sheet. And you, how can the blot of sins are coming in your sheet? Because in your heart you want to give loss to other people. You're not sincere. You are taking the advantage on someone's needs. You are giving distress to somebody. Tell me, is this not in our ma'ashara? But we don't want to change for the better. And this is called leaving the sins. And this is what dhikr should give as a result. So what's the next sin? Allah's Nabi said, cursed is the first who? That Muslim who gives pain to another person. Second sin is to commit fraud with a Muslim. Fraud, deceive, betray, to deceive, to commit fraud, to cheat. Take someone down the dark alley when there's no light at the end of it. We don't even know. You put the hand out to shake someone's hand, and you know that your intention is something else. Oh, this person's loving me. Is he loving me because he really likes me? Because he's a Muslim? Or does he want something from me? We don't even know today. How can we trust people? Clean your hearts, brothers. Never should you think in your heart that I'm becoming friends with this person because I want to get something from him. Should I trick him, cheat him, deceive him? Today in society, common folk, it's common fare. It's common. And that today trust has evaporated. Either don't make your face like a trustworthy person. Either don't make your face like this, or don't do those actions that due to your face and attire and your actions that people, they love you and trust you, and then you deceive them. Then really it's better to be a thief in society and expose yourself for really what you are. But today we present ourselves as pious and clean, and we deceive others. Who then will trust the pious after that? Such a great deen we have. and we think sins are small, and we deceive and cheat others. Such a big sin. We think they're small things, but there's such a big punishment. I tell you the point that's in my heart. Why is Allah Ta'ala giving such a big punishment for this sin? Because that person, he's not just giving loss to that other individual who he wants to cheat. He's not just betraying that person. Rather, in reality, he is cheating and betraying and deceiving the deen of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because then other people say, oh, he's a Muslim, and Muslims are cheats. People say, oh, pray. Oh, I've seen many people who pray. Oh, keep the beard, brother. Oh, I've seen many people who keep the beard. Oh, brother, do this. Oh, I've seen Maulvis. Ah, oh, forget it. I know that Maulvi is a cheat. Oh, that Sufi, I know that Sheikh, and he's a sinner. Isn't this the case? We put a black paint brush on the whole of Islam. My brothers, if 10 people, alhamdulillah, purify themselves today due to this, this is a great success for us. Dhikr, don't think dhikr is a tradition. The gathering of dhikr, our majalis that we hold during the week, the meaning of these majalis is to correct our character inside, clean our hearts so our lives become better. That's the objective of doing dhikr. To stop cheating. Rasulullah said, whoever cheats someone, tricks someone, he is cursed by Allah. To cheat someone is an extreme sin. How much more can I say? To deceive someone. Oh, it's okay, you do it, I'm coming. Oh, don't worry, until the evening I come. Oh, it will happen. In my heart, there's something else. In my heart, I intend something else, but I say something else. And I call myself a Muslim. What kind of Muslim am I? Is this the link of a Muslim? A Muslim, from his tongue, when the words emanate, he totally does what he says on the tip of the tongue, the same as the root of his heart. And we, if I'm shaking someone's hand, inside my heart I have different intention, but from the tip of my tongue I say something else. In my heart there's opposition, from the tip of my tongue there's happiness. Wallah, there's destruction. Homes are destroyed, lives are destroyed, children destroyed. Total, the deen has flown away today. Today we see the material deen, and today the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rasul salam has evaporated. In the eyes of Allah, our deen is not deen today. And I have to think, what a great point here. May I assign myself to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala today is still allowing us to speak the haq today in this majlis. Because we're not criticizing other people. This is the rahmah of Allah that's descended. Someone 70 old is listening, 80 years old is listening, 60 year old is listening. Someone Mulana sahib is listening. People all over the world are listening. This is Allah's shan. That how Allah has brought us to the haq, and inshallah we'll improve our lives for the better. So we will improve our lives for good. So we'll change our thinking, our hearts, our intentions. Mu'min is he that in the front he's the same, at the back he's the same. In your face he's the same, and behind your back he's the same. Behind your back, you can have confidence in him, you can trust him to the extreme. SubhanAllah. And my brother said this, a mu'min is the brother of a Muslim. A mu'min is the brother of a Muslim, and he is totally yakin that the brother has said this, he will never give me loss, because he said something from the tongue, and a zakir and a shakir, how can it be? People like us, and we deceive others. There can never be that a mu'min deceives another mu'min. A fruitster, if there's milk, then in place of milk he gives dried powder that is a different chemical, and he's giving food which is different, and their bank balances are full with money, and this is the fake. Yeah, for example, we say this shoe, I'm sending you this shoe, is made out of this material or these clothes, and it's fake, and we say guaranteed. No, it's fine. It's totally fine. Just let the money come in. He doesn't know that that money is full of curse. Allah has put lanat on that money. Allah says, what will be your hashr from this money? What will be the result from this money, oh madman? What will be the hal? Don't you know that you are challenging Allah? With your fraud, you have become malhoon, wretched, cursed. When you are wretched and cursed and you're making money, where will that money go? Where will you spend that money? What benefit will give? What thawab will give you? There's no sadaqah, there's no zakat on the money, there's no charity on the money, there's no qurbani, no sacrifice, no hajj, no deen, nothing. So what's the point of wasting our time and effort? It can never give us success. Tell me now, if a human being becomes like this, what Islam then has come to life? This whole hadith teaches, one hadith teaches us the whole of Islam. Tells us the punishment and the rahmah of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that the sins that we have learned today, that have come to our majlis today, and all other sins that are in ma'ashara, in society, may they not come to our life. May we wash ourselves like a white sheep. We're doing dhikr of Allah. We're saying, Allah, Allah, like we've come to this majlis. What a great reward Allah has given to us. He's brought us to his gathering. We should never go towards the sins. Never. Never should from our body a result come that we give pain to another person. From our tongues, we should not give pain to another person. We should not deceive someone, defraud someone. In our heart, we should not feel or harbor ill feelings or bad intentions. Don't frown. You're buta. Don't frown. In Punjabi, the word buta. Don't even frown to a person. When you make a horrible face, no smile, no love, total attitude and stubbornness is bhuta. It's called bhuta in Punjabi. May Allah save us from a frowning figure, from a frowning face. Then we say, oh, I prayed tahajjud and I'm pious. There's no noor in my life. How will noor come into your life when you make faces in front of people? Noor doesn't come from the ibadah, from the worship. Noor comes when you bring light into your hearts. Into your hearts. When noor comes into the heart, Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Yes, when people looked at him, they couldn't see him straight in the face because he had so much noor on his face. What noor did he have on his face? Even though he was dark in complexion. It's not the complexion color. Makeup won't bring noor. Yes, foundation cream won't bring beauty. You can cut your hair and put foundation and powder and makeup and shampoo and whatever. If you want noor, then 4 days, even if you don't wash your face, even if you're not put soap in your face, but when you are the practicing Muslim from the heart, people look at your face and say, oh, noor is on your heart face. The angels will be envious of that person. Why? Because in the heart, وَآخْرُ دَوَهَنُمْ وَآخْرُ دَوَهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بِالْعَالَمِينَ مَا لَكِ بَسُورُ دَ تَوْفِيقُ. Ameen.